Today we're in Zechariah chapter 9, and we've heard a bit about the Palm Sunday event and account in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 21, but we're going to look at the quote that Matthew gives out of Zechariah 9:9. We're going to look at the whole prophecy of that and explore why Matthew is saying that that happened then and what that means for them then and us now. So if you have a Bible, if you don't worry, it's going to come up on the screen. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 17. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule, his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your strongholds, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow, I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them. And they shall devour and tread down the sling stones. And they shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine, and be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women. Amen. It's the word of the Lord. Well, folks, when I was young, I remember, I don't know if I was quite Levi's age, probably a bit older, I remember my parents jumping about the living room, shouting and screaming and laughing and celebrating. Not that they weren't usually happy people, they were, but there was something that had happened that caused them to celebrate greatly. And I found out that they were celebrating because they won the pools. They won the lottery. And so they were excited, ecstatic. But soon after that, the excitement and celebration faded because it wasn't quite as they thought it was. I don't know if they were a number out, if they just get a tenner or whatever, but it was not life-changing like they thought it was. And so today we're going to look at a time in history when a whole city was stirred up in celebration because of this event, Jesus riding into the capital city on a donkey. Because if that was really fulfilling this prophecy, as Matthew says in Zechariah, then that promised to change their lives forever. It's one of the highest points in Israel. It's one of the highest points because of what it means. But as we'll find out in a few days, it went from one of the highest points to one of the lowest points. So we've already heard in Matthew's account this event, and in fact all four Gospels mention it. Both Matthew and John draw attention to the text in Zechariah as being fulfilled. Nevertheless, the disciples at the time didn't quite understand what was going on. Later on, when they realized what was happening, they suddenly realized that it was fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, that Jesus was doing the thing that Zechariah was saying would happen. And so we're going to look at Zechariah 9:9 today, and we see that this is the signal of the coming king when he comes in on a donkey. The person coming in on a donkey, as Zechariah says, is the signal of the coming king that they've long expected, and as such, the signal of the coming kingdom. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen an inauguration of a US president. It just happened recently with US President Joe Biden. And usually what they have is they've got the streets lined with Secret Service. They clear all the streets. They've got police everywhere, flashing lights. A lot of people coming out to see it, but they're kept back. And they've got a big motorcade of armored vehicles. Now, it was said of Joe Biden this year that it was the mother of all motorcades. This thing was super impressive. He was going down to take office. The president had come and he was going to take office, and you could tell that by the motorcade that he was in. But the thing is, on Palm Sunday, here we have the King of Kings, the Lord of all creation, riding into the capital city as a king, yet on a donkey, with an entourage of only a dozen disciples. You see, Jesus doesn't need to flex his power like that. And in fact, when he does show his power, it's often in a way that people just wouldn't expect or wouldn't get, as Mandy said. And the point of this illustration is that when you see the crowds, for instance, in America, you see the commotion, the streets looking different, the noise, the flashing lights, the motorcade, well, it signals someone very important is coming. And if that one who is coming is the one who is to rule or govern, then it's not just the person coming, but it's a kingdom or a term of governing. See, the mega motorcade signals the coming of the new president, and as such, it signals the coming of a new term of governing with new policies and so on. And likewise, this prophecy in Zechariah signals the coming of a king and a kingdom. And it doesn't stand alone, but it is part of the puzzle of many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. So on the subject of motorcades, what is the deal with the donkey? You might think it's simply because he was humble. Humble and mounted on a donkey. And although that's true, it's not the only reason to enter on a donkey. Neither is it because he's tired. He walks about everywhere. He specifically sought out this donkey. He got his disciples to go into a town to take it. The person allowed them to take it on the basis that the Lord needed it. And he used it only for entering Jerusalem at this moment in a certain fashion, and then he would give it back. You see, it's about making an entrance, because making an entrance says something about who you are. And if you go back in the history of Israel, for instance, if you were to thumb back in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 1, when King David wanted everyone to know that his successor would be Solomon, his son, he wanted people to know that Solomon, as the children were fighting for the throne, he wanted people to know that Solomon was the rightful king. So what did he do? 1 Kings chapter 1, he said to his officers, this is what to do. Set Solomon on my donkey. March him down to take the throne. And tell you what, why don't you make a noise that splits the earth? And so we see that. You can see it's very, very similar to Palm Sunday. People making a noise, the king riding in on a donkey, and people asking, what is going on? Well, it's the king, it's the king. Likewise, in 2 Kings chapter 9, when it was announced that Jehu was the anointed king, the people round about him immediately took off their garments and threw them down, recognizing him as the king. See, these things were the palm branches and the garments and the people and the crowds and the donkey. They're not coincidental. Jesus is riding into the capital city, making a huge statement saying, I am the king. I am the guy from Zechariah 9. I am the coming king, the righteous one with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. It's not merely an act of humility, but it's a statement of identity. See, when you've been doing and saying the things that Jesus has been doing and saying for the past few years, you can't just get away with riding into Jerusalem like that. No, people are going to ask questions. And you see that in Matthew later on. They're furious that he does this. And they're furious that the crowds are shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save. So you get this sense. You get this sense that people are hearing the commotion, asking what's going on, running out, getting whipped up in the crowds. People are saying, what's going on? Well, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is coming in. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Does amazing things. No, you're not going to want to miss this. He's doing the donkey thing. The what? He's doing the Zechariah 9, he's doing the donkey thing. The king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. He's doing that. Really? Does that mean he's the, you don't want to miss it. He's the king. He's doing this thing. You don't want to miss it. And he is humble. He's gentle and lowly. He's quite unlike any other ruler on the earth. They say that power corrupts, yet unlike humanity, the Son of God put his power aside, became like a servant. And he's righteous. Again, quite unlike any other person or ruler on this planet? Don't we want a righteous king? Don't we want a righteous government? See, for the first time, finally, there's a king who's not going to abuse power. For the first time, there's a king who's going to do what is right. Do we want that? Of course we do. Finally, he's a king who saves, a ruler who can save. A servant king, a righteous king, and a saviour king. That is he who rides on a donkey. And we find out in Mark as well, they weren't just shouting, blessed is he, but they were saying, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. See, the coming of the king signals that the kingdom is coming. The ancient world, a king would ride on a horse if he was bringing war, but he would ride on a donkey if he was bringing peace. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He brings peace. And it's one of the things that the people didn't get, because they wanted war. They wanted Jesus to make war on the corrupt leaders, and they wanted Jesus to make war on the Romans and kick them out. But no, that's not what Jesus was about. That's short-sighted. Jesus had a greater war in mind, namely against sin and death. Zechariah 9 says, I will cut off the chariot. I will cut off the war horse, and the battle bow will be cut off. This king is going to put an end to war for good. He's bringing an end to war. And then he's going to speak peace to nations, it says. His rule shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Does that remind you of anything? The book of Acts, the gospel of peace going out to the ends of earth, speaking peace to all mankind. See, that's what would often happen. A message of peace would go out for people to make peace with the coming king before he wages war. Do you agree to the peace terms? That's the gospel. His kingdom will be a kingdom of peace, and not the kind of peace that we experience just now in the United Kingdom while we're not at war with any other nations. Just because we're not at war with another nation doesn't mean we're not at war. Do you not feel that every single day humanity is at war with sin and death? You not feel that every day? It's a war we can't win on our own. Death has a 100% success rate against humanity. But Jesus was waging war against sin and death. Jesus had a bigger war in mind. See, the kingdom that comes with the king is not just peace with all mankind, but peace with God. Peace from corruption, peace from sin, peace from death. Do you not want that? Yes. And if Jesus is the king of the prophecy, then why did not the rest follow? Why is there still war? Why have we been waiting 2,000 years? Well, let me ask you a question. If you know Jesus, if you're trusting in his name and you believe that he is this king, that he's the Christ, the Son of God, do you not already have a foretaste of these things through his Spirit? Do you not already have a foretaste of the peace that he is bringing? Do you not already have a foretaste of the victory over sin that he is bringing? Do you not already have a foretaste that he has taken away the fear of death? A foretaste of his righteousness? Do we not all experience already his grace and humility towards us? Do we not already experience his salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and the renewal of our minds? We do. As I was talking with Alan, how do you get from a cross? How do you get from a crucified person to over 2 billion believers across the whole entire earth? For 2,000 years, he's been doing this, speaking peace to the nations, his rule going out from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. That's why me and you are here today. If it were not for that fact, we would not be gathered together today. If he has fulfilled the first part, then he will do the second part. Look at verse 11 of Zechariah 9. Because of the blood of my covenant with you. Did Jesus not say when he was pouring out the wine, this is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins? See, because he's made a covenant with you in his blood, he will surely do it. Look at the rest of the passage in Zechariah after that. I will set your prisoners free. I will restore you to double. I have made, I will stir up, the Lord will, his arrow will, the Lord God will sound the trumpet, he will march forth, the Lord of hosts will protect them, The Lord their God will save them. They are the flock of his people. They will shine in his land. How great is his goodness? How great is his beauty? Is it not all about him? We don't need to do this. He is doing it. He has done it, and he is doing it, and he will do it. So what is with this 2,000-year gap between the donkey and the kingdom? What is with this 2,000-year gap between his arrival and the coming of his kingdom? Because this is not it. His kingdom is properly coming physically. Sin will be done away with, and death will be no more. And we will be in his kingdom with a righteous king. That will happen. See, the point is, if he did do this, if he did ride in on a donkey purposefully, and he did, if that is fulfilling the first part, then he will do the second part. He will do the rest of Zechariah. It is coming. And that's the thing. We don't need to let our celebration and excitement fade as the week goes just because the king does something not expected. His kingdom is coming. So we should wave the palm branches, throw our garments off, not under your friend's bike, of course. We should get excited. The point is, he did come. He did fulfill the first part. He is going to fulfill the rest. So brothers and sisters, Palm Sunday, rejoice therefore, the King has come. Trust in him today while he still comes on a donkey with peace. Rejoice and be glad, for the King has come and his kingdom is coming. Jesus is the King, and he is bringing his kingdom. It will happen.